You may have a seat. It's so good to be here. I hope you feel the energy in this place right now. It's just incredible to be able to worship together in community with each and every one of you. And so we're excited for that. If you came in late, my name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm a campus pastor here at Revive. And I'm just excited to be able to be here with you as we continue our series, Reverse the Curse. And so last week, if you were with us, we sort of acknowledged the fact that sin curses everything. And the first half of the message was quite a Debbie Downer of a message. I sort of just leaned into the weight of sin and how terrible it is and how sin curses everything, and there's absolutely nothing you and I can do about it. Really, ultimately, we caused it. So it's sort of a terrible situation. However, Jesus has come into this story as our Savior to reconcile us from the consequences and the curse of sin, and we learned that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has began that curse reversal, and that we get to experience a life in which we are not bound by this curse any longer. And so it's not the end of the story. Jesus' resurrection is not the end of the story, but it's actually the beginning of a new journey that you and I get to be a part of and that we get to participate in. And so we are super excited about that. And that is the good news we celebrate. That is the good news we celebrated on Easter Sunday and the weeks leading up to that. And that is the good news we celebrate every single week as we continue to move forward. The fact that if we call on the name of the Lord, we can, in fact, be saved and freed from the curse of sin. And so we looked at that last week, and we're going to continue in that mindset this morning as we continue to move forward. And actually, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes in Romans 10:13 the very words that I just said. He said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are saved from the consequences of sin, you are saved from the curse of sin, and you can move forward in relationship with Him. And so that is what we get to celebrate each and every week so many times, but today's even extra special because we're celebrating baptism. We had a baptism in the first service, and we have a baptism in this service, and so we're so excited to move forward and celebrate with these individuals who have called on the name of the Lord and want to publicly declare the fact that they are no longer held and bound by this curse of sin, and that they are living in this world free from that. And yes, this will be around us. Yes, we still live. We talked about last week the fact that the kingdom of God is breaking through and that we still are living among the curse, but it doesn't have to have control over us anymore. And so as we celebrate with baptism, the identity and the fact that it's no longer controlling us. And so that's what we celebrate through baptism. Actually, the discipline of the Wesleyan Church in general, that sounds like a very boring statement, the discipline of the Wesleyan Church. But it gives us a great foundation of really what we believe about baptism. So let me read this. It says this: "Baptism is not itself the door to salvation, but rather it's an outward sign of the new birth which God has wrought in the believer's heart. It proclaims to all the world that a person has taken Christ Jesus as the Lord of their lives and that it is their purpose always to obey Him." And so that's what we celebrate with baptism. And this morning, we're going to hear a story behind the baptism, and across all of our campuses, we're hearing these stories. And as a staff, we've sort of claimed and named these stories Revive stories, as people are coming into revival, into new relationship, this new creation that they have become. And that's sort of the identity and what we're going to really focus on this morning. The act that the idea that the old is gone when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and the new has come. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as we've already quoted this morning, writes this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says basically what I have just said. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here." And I imagine that as Paul wrote these words, he was thinking probably a lot of his own experience, because he had a pretty dramatic transformation in his life. You see, Paul wasn't always Paul. In fact, he used to be known as Saul, and he was actually persecuting Christians, or in that time known as followers of the way. They hadn't even yet really been labeled Christians yet. And so we get to see a part of his conversion, a part of his transformation in Acts 9, verses 3 through 6. So let me read that right here. It says this: "As he, Paul, neared Damascus on his journey," literally on his way to persecute more Christians, on his way to supervise and oversee the execution of Christians even, Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, the story continues, and you can go back and read the entirety of the story, but God continues to speak in somebody else in Damascus, and he speaks to Paul, and they unite, and all of a sudden, there's this beautiful moment in which Paul surrenders his life to Jesus after having been blinded and actually hearing this audible voice of Jesus himself telling him to stop persecuting him, go, and you must do these things. And so we see this incredible transformation take place. We see the fact that the old has gone with Paul and the new is here. I mean, in one moment, Paul is this Pharisee who once persecuted Christians, and now he has been transformed into something new. Now, when I think of transformation, I think of, and most of you probably think of, if you think of transformation, I think of the movie Transformers. Do you not think of Transformers, right? I mean, these intergalactic mechanical beasts, right? And so we think of sort of Transformers or transformation with that mentality. Or we think of things transforming like the seasons or like plants as we're entering into this sort of like crippled spring. And so we have these sort of transitions or these transformations all before us. And a lot of times we think of transformation in that area. But let me say something. It's not really an accurate depiction of what transformation is. You see, when we think about transformers like the mechanical things or seasons changing or transforming, really what's taking place is simply just a transition. And transitions are good, and transitions are around us all the time, and all of us walk through transitions. But these are not full transformations. These are transitions. Because transitions often lead to something else, but sometimes you go back to where you came from. Transformers go back to their original form. As we look at seasons and plants, these things transform, but they have the ability to go back or have a cycle motion. But when we talk about transformation, like we're talking about here, where the old is gone, it no longer exists, and the new is here, there is no intent of going back to the old way. And so Paul, in his transformation, was not going back to that. He was transitioning for sure, but he was transforming. His heart, his mind, his soul was transforming in a dynamic and powerful way. An often used analogy to this, and somewhat cliche at this point, but it's really a good analogy, it's hard not to use, is that of a butterfly. Honestly, if you think about the transformation that takes place there, a caterpillar goes into this chrysalis, and it is biologically changed into a new creature. A butterfly, a completely different creature. The old is gone, it's not coming back, and the new is here. That's the kind of transformation we can expect when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul experienced that transformation in his own life. Instead of his life being marked as a persecutor, a murderer, and as an antagonist of the gospel, because that's what he was an enemy of Jesus Christ at that time. He became Jesus' instrument to spread the gospel through Asia Minor and into Europe. It was crazy. It changed everything about him. It changed who he hung out with. It changed how he spent his time. It changed what he thought. It changed everything. And so I'm sure as Paul wrote those words that I already quoted at the beginning, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, he has come, or has come, the old has gone and the new is here. He's experienced this firsthand, and he wants others to experience it as well. So yet, not only did he have his own transformation in mind, he most likely had the transformation of all these other people that he was going to spread this good news to. All the people that he would enter into circles of influence through his ministry and beyond, including you and me. And so here's my question, though, is because maybe you've heard these things many, many times, but you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I can't enter into this sort of relationship with Jesus Christ. First of all, I'm just too messed up. I've done too many things wrong. I there's no way that Jesus would ever love me the way that I am. And so you start to believe these lies that the enemy is pouring into you, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy enough, that you're too broken, that you're not in a good enough position to be able to even enter into the presence of God. And through the curse of sin, that is true. But the reality is that we are not meant to be made perfect first before entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He accepts us as we are in our imperfections, in our brokenness. And so one of the primary effects of this curse of sin that we've been talking about is these very lies that we often hear and believe in our heart and in our mind. But Jesus has the power to cast those lies aside and to not allow us to believe them or find our identity in them. And that's what I love so much about Paul. Because, I mean, think about it. A lot of times we think, oh, I'm too bad, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I'm not worthy enough, I've made too many mistakes. But I highly doubt anybody in this room is out there actually persecuting Christians or actually seeking out to imprison them or even murder them. Like, that was his mindset. That's where he was. He was truly an enemy of Jesus Christ. But he still was used by Jesus in the most unbelievable and powerful way. I mean, this individual wrote most of the New Testament for us. We cling to his words as the Holy Spirit was inspired in and through him. And so when we think to ourselves, well, I'm not good enough or I'm too broken, all we have to do is look to Scripture and realize that nobody's too broken to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not too broken. Jesus wants to be in relationship with you. Jesus loves you despite of your brokenness, despite of your flaws. That doesn't mean we can just take our brokenness and our flaws and be like, yeah, so it's just who I am. I'm going to keep doing it. When we enter into this relationship with Jesus Christ, his Spirit, his very Spirit enters into us and begins to change the way we think. He begins to change our heart's desires. We begin to want to be with other people in settings like this. We begin to want to worship him, not just on an hour service on Sunday morning, but throughout our week. It changes who we are. The old is gone, the new has come. The curse no longer has a hold of us. We are now found, and our identity is found in him. And so Paul, absolutely, before he became Paul and was Saul, it seemed like the curse had won. It seemed like the curse had taken over him, but the power of Jesus was greater. And he was changed for the better. He was transformed, truly transformed, and you can be transformed this morning as well. So to those of you who in this room who maybe feel unworthy, like this curse seems to win, it hasn't and it doesn't have to. You can be freed from the curse and begin a new life with him, freed from the bondage of sin, just like Paul was. And I realize that many of us in this place have experienced that transformational power. It's true. A lot of us have. Maybe we didn't experience it like Paul. Maybe we didn't see flashes of light. Maybe we weren't blinded. Maybe we weren't hearing the audible voice of Jesus. But many of us in this room at some point in our life have called on the name of the Lord and have been saved. And are we walking in the reality of that? Are we taking it for granted, or are we living that out each and every day? Maybe a parent, friend, or pastor has shared the good news with you and you have identified with that. You are now a new creation. Each and every day, you can continually be made new. And the beautiful thing about this relationship with Jesus is it's not something that we get to experience the effects of only after we die, way down the road. It's something that we get to be a part of today, right now. We learned last week that the kingdom of God is breaking through all around us. We also learned that the curse of sin is still among us. It is still around us. And so Jesus used this analogy of weeds and wheat in Matthew as living together. We are living amongst one another. And when Jesus comes back a second time, in which he will, that is when the weeds will be taken away for good. But for now, we live among the curse, but the curse doesn't have to overpower us. We don't have to live in that. We can live immediately in the blessing and the reality of the kingdom of God right now, even today. We can find hope in a world that seems hopeless. We can find purpose in a world in which it's so difficult at times to find that because we're constantly trying to compare ourselves with other people and do all these things. And we can find our identity in Jesus Christ and not in the things that we ourselves can do or the things that we've done that we're not proud of. That's not what defines us. The fact that we are a son or daughter of Jesus Christ, that is what defines us. And that is what we cling to. And there is more power in that than any power in the curse of sin. And so that's what we get to do. And the beautiful thing about all this is it's not about us. And that's sort of what I've already been saying. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we didn't do. It's not about what we shouldn't have done. It's all about what Jesus did. The fact that he died on the cross. He took the penalty of sin that you and I deserve upon his shoulders. He took it to the grave and he defeated it by raising from the dead and defeating the grave and defeating death for all eternity so that we too can defeat it. And we've learned over the past few weeks, and we've reiterated the fact that if Jesus is a part of the equation, that if Jesus is in our life, anytime there is a physical death, there will be a resurrection into eternity. And that's what we cling to, and that's what we celebrate. But it's all because of Jesus. Paul affirms this reality as he continues in 2 Corinthians 5:18. He says this, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." All of this is from God through Jesus Christ. And then he's empowered us through the power of his Holy Spirit to work. This is where we see this concept of our mission at Revive Wesleyan, to pursue the Father, to proclaim Jesus and participate with the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing we learn in this few short verses is that through Jesus we have life. Not because of ourselves, not because of what we've done. Through Jesus we are set free from sin. Through Jesus we are brought into right relationship with God. Through Jesus we even have the ability to approach God, to pursue the Father. It's all because of Jesus. All glory goes to Jesus. All responsibility goes to Jesus. All the weight of sin and suffering goes to Jesus. Everything is because of Jesus. That is what we celebrate. The curse is gone. The curse no longer has power over us because of Jesus. And so Paul states that in these verses. And then he goes on to say, we share in this ministry of reconciliation. We share in the ability to actually proclaim Jesus to one another, to let other people know of the good news, the fact that this curse no longer has a hold of me and I want other people to know. And that is where we enter into this beautiful sacrament of baptism. Baptism in which we believe wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ himself is in the process with us. He is here in this place through the power of his Holy Spirit, sharing in this act of baptism. And so I already acknowledged at the beginning what baptism is, sort of what we believe is a denomination, but baptism sort of has two different parts that I want to describe to us before we conclude this morning and celebrate baptism. The first is simply this. There's a physical act of baptism, and this is sort of what I talked about at the beginning. A physical act of baptism in which the individual who is being baptized is simply letting the world know they are not cursed by this curse anymore. They're not bound by this curse anymore. They have been set free. The old is gone and the new is here. And they want the world to know this reality, that this is true for them. And so this is a beautiful way to proclaim Jesus simply through the act of baptism. And then secondly, there is this symbolic aspect of baptism. You see, Jesus died on the cross, like I've already mentioned many times, taking our sin with him. And so when the individual who is baptized goes under the water, it is a representation of them dying to themselves and their sins being washed away because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then as they are brought out of the water, they are a new creation, no longer bound by the curse of sin. They are made new, they are made whole, they are washed white as snow, and they share in the very resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. How powerful and incredible is that? That is what baptism is. It's a public declaration of faith and a symbolic reality of what Jesus is doing in that individual's heart and what he wants to do in everybody's heart in this place. Jesus himself was baptized. We see baptism all through Scripture. It's continued through the early church, and it continues today, and we celebrate it today. And so I want to ask you, maybe you find yourself in a few different places this morning. Maybe you find yourself like Saul before he became Paul. Maybe you find yourself in a position in which you've done terrible things or even mediocre bad things, but you think there's just no way that anybody could ever love you, and especially Jesus, the Savior of the world, the creator of the world, he would never want to be in relationship with me. You can be transformed, and you can be transformed even this morning. And the curse of sin and the lies that are being spoken to you and breathed over you by the enemy do not have to have any power because the greater power is the love of Jesus Christ. And you can have that this morning. Maybe you are Paul. Maybe you've experienced this transformation, but you began to take it for granted. Maybe you just simply need to be reminded this morning that you are worthy, that your identity is first and foremost in the person of Jesus Christ. You are first and foremost a citizen of the kingdom of God that is here and now in this earth, breaking through in so many ways around us. And you are not bound by sin. Claim that reality this morning. Reclaim that reality this morning. So in just a minute, we're gonna sing another song, and we're going to have a baptism. I'll tell you, we weren't really planning on this, but if you've been coming for the last few weeks or you've been here today and you're like, you know what, I would really like to get baptized, I'm happy to have a real quick conversation with you down here and baptize you right now. We actually have some clothes in the back, towels. We weren't planning on this, but we have some stuff back there. You're welcome to join in the process. It's here. It's ready to go. And what better time to do it than now? So it's available during the next song. If you want to come see me up here, that's fine. I have to change first, but I'll be right back out. So either way, we are going to celebrate with at least one this morning, and so we're so excited for that. But at this point, let me just pray for our time together and pray for each and every one of us in this room, regardless of where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you have loved us so much that you took the penalty of sin that each and every one of us deserve, the fact that we are cursed by this sin, and you've removed it from us. And all we have to do is acknowledge that you are who you say you are and that we are a child of yours. So Lord, if there are people in this room right now, if there are people who relate to Saul and they just feel like they're in a state of brokenness and they aren't good enough, I pray that those lives would be eliminated in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And that they would understand their value and their worth is in you and nothing of this world, but only of you. If there are people in this room that have had an experience with you, but have sort of taken it for granted and stepped back, allow them to understand that they are a new creation. Each and every day they are made new. Allow them to continually call on you and rely on you and acknowledge that the power within them is from you and you alone. Lord, I love you so much. We acknowledge you as Savior. I thank you for dying on the cross for each and every one of us. May we step into that reality even a little bit more this morning as we continue. I love you and praise you. And in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Let's stand as we continue.
Morning. My name is Christian Park. I'm here to read the testimony of Mason Richmond this morning. So, Mason is 18 years old. He's been to church his whole life. And he's always really enjoyed Sunday mornings at here and youth group at the Loft. And recently, he's been feeling that maybe there's something more to this whole thing. After praying and thinking and about getting baptized, he always felt this feeling of peace rush over him, and even the thought of it came to mind. He believes now that this was God giving him a sign. Just go for it. So, that's what he's doing. He's going for it.
Mason, is it your desire to tell the world that you are no longer bound by this curse and that you love Jesus?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, Mason Richmond, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Here, no prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love and for your mercy and for the grace that we've already sang about this morning, and the fact that Mason has just acknowledged this publicly, that he no longer wants to have this effect of sin and curse of sin over him. He is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here, and it's here to stay. And so we thank you so much for the transformative power that you have done in him and through him with your Holy Spirit, and we can't wait to see where you continue to take him from here. So we ask that you would continue to guide, you would continue to direct his life as he continues to pursue you, proclaim you,
and participate with you each and every place he goes. We love you and ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.